You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association with host John Hansen. Today's New Year's Eve show is sponsored by the tax attorneys at Gordon Law Group and the personal injury attorneys at Gainsburg Law. Now, ringing in the new year, here's John Hansen and Let's Get Legal.
That is right. That's the voice of Ernie. Hey, thank you very much for that wonderful intro and music here. Yes, it is New Year's Eve, and this is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Thank you so much for joining us here today. You know, thank you for joining us any day of this year. I've had a lot of fun on WGN Radio, and this show, Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, launched this year back in July. Here we are half a year later, still running strong and really excited to be with you here on this Friday afternoon. Now, normally we're on Saturdays, but just like last week, we were on Friday as well during Christmas Eve. We're here until 3 o'clock today. So an extra hour to answer your legal questions and dive into some legal issues and have some fun along the way. You heard there in the intro that we've got Gordon Law Group on. The director of tax at Gordon Law Group, Michael Raff, is going to be hopping on in just a few minutes. And he's got some last minute things you can do. And, you know, people have been saying, oh, here's last minute things you can do for 2021 all year long. Well, today we mean it because we are now less than 12 hours until the new year strikes here in Chicago. So it truly is some last minute stuff. But hey, it's still December 31st from a legal perspective. So things that you can do today to lessen that taxable income. And what I like about what Michael's going to chat about is not only from an individual perspective, but also so many people now have their own small businesses. Maybe you lost your job during the pandemic or you pivoted to something you loved. And maybe this is your first full year that you have run your own S corporation or LLC or something. And maybe there's some things from a business perspective that you hadn't thought of that can really help you out, lower those taxable incomes for 2021. Well, Michael Raff's going to stop by and talk about all of that, as well as talking through a bunch of new Illinois laws. And there are a lot of them, and they take effect tomorrow. That's usually when we get the most new laws taking effect, the start of the new year. A lot of times it happens in July 1st as well, but we've got a lot of them, and you know, some of them are always these minor laws, and there's a ton of those, hundreds of those, that probably don't impact your everyday life. But there aren't a lot of ones that I just found fascinating. There's some big ones, too. And we'll chat through all those, as well as play a clips of some interviews I've done regarding those in the past year. And Karen Conti going to join us a little bit later, too, to talk about the top law stories of the year. But it's time for our question of the day, and we usually have one or two of these today. They're a little difficult, and they might take some wild guesses to get right, but we need you to participate. 312-981-7200. That's how you're going to win the prize. I'll tell you about the prize in one moment. You'll be talking with Andrew Harris. Just give him your name and your guess, and we'll get you online as quick as we can. He's our producer today. So here is our question of the day. Alabama has the longest. Vermont has the shortest. Alabama has the longest. Vermont has the shortest. And of course, what I'm asking for you is to guess what the heck I'm talking about. 312-981-7200. If you get that right, you are going to be going home with a $50 gift card from the 50-50 Restaurant Group to be used at any one of their 14 fantastic establishments all over Chicago, including Roots Pizza and the 50-50 Sports Bar. They're a great restaurant group, and they feed us well oftentimes. Amp and OB, I know, have had that Roots Pizza a lot throughout the year. It's really good. So let's say you have no idea what the answer is. That's okay. We need someone to be brave and get the ball rolling. Alabama has the longest. Vermont has the shortest. 312-981-7200. As you ponder that, I'll let you know what else is coming up in the show. I mentioned Karen Conti is going to stop by to talk about the top legal things, the stories of the year. There's some really interesting ones that you may have even forgotten, in fact, that I couldn't even believe were part of 2021. Bob Kessler, this year has been a long one. I'll tell you that much. I'm almost amazed at some of the things that happened in this year.
We've had our twists and turns,
We've had our twists and turns, to be sure.
To say the least.
720 WGN, this is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Thanks so much for joining us here. We are going to take you all the way up until 3 o'clock here this afternoon on a rather cloudy New Year's Eve, but warm out there. And I hope you have some big plans ahead for tonight, or I hope you have some small plans. That's sort of the name of the game here. honestly a little surprised we're still going on with this biggest fireworks show. But as you've heard the doctor say, I heard Dr. Murphy on the way in talking to Dean Richards about, hey, as long as you're double vaxxed and boosted and wearing a mask and you're outside and you got some distance between you and the people next to you, okay. But I'm a little skeptical seeing what some other parties are going to be going on tonight. I, for one, Mr. Kessler, can't wait to sit on the couch and do nothing.
That's what I'm looking forward to myself.
I wonder if I can make it to midnight. This might be the first year ever. Not ever. I imagine as a little kid I didn't stay up till midnight. But the first year, I always make it every year to midnight. Last year I made it till 12:15. I don't know. I may not do it this year.
You're on tomorrow, right? So
yes.
You got work tomorrow.
I got work tomorrow.
You need to rest.
I'm here at 10.
You need your beauty rest.
Exactly. All right. Alabama has the longest, and Vermont has the shortest. Let's see if we got the answer. Let's go to Anita. Anita, you're on WGN. Anita, how's your New Year's Eve treating you so far?
Good, thank you.
Where are you calling from, Anita?
Plainfield, Illinois.
Plainfield. Shout out to the southwest suburbs. It sounds like you're shoveling snow in the background, too, Anita.
No, I'm actually driving in my car with I have my handless phone.
There you go.
I had to drive my granddaughter to Indiana.
Oh, well, that was nice of you to do that. And, yeah, it's good to make sure you're on a handless thing. This is a legal show, after all. So, Anita, what's your guess? Alabama has the longest, Vermont has the shortest.
Lifespan.
Good guess. That would fit the longest, shortest thing. But that is not the answer. Thanks for playing, though, Anita.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a good day. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WGN. Jim, how are you doing here today?
Doing okay.
Yeah. What are your plans for New Year's Eve?
Quietly at home.
Yeah. You're going to watch, you'll watch Channel 9, though, right, to make sure you see everything happen.
No TV, but I'll have you on the air.
Hey,
on the radio.
You'll get Landecker and Steve and Johnny coming up at 3 o'clock, and Landecker at 7. Going to be a lot of fun here. You had a good year, Jim, or you got any resolutions for next year?
Well, I made one resolution about 30 years ago that I'm still keeping.
And what's that?
That was to quit making silly resolutions that I have no hope of keeping anyway.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Don't even keep them. You know you're not going to do them. Why even go through the pain? All right, Jim. Alabama has the longest. Vermont has the shortest. What are we talking about?
I hope we're talking about mileage on the Appalachian Trail.
Well, I don't know if Alabama has much mileage on the Appalachian Trail. If Vermont was the longest, I guess I could see it. But I think we've got those flipped around, Jim. Unfortunately, that is not the answer. I'm sorry, Jim.
Oh. Okay, well, you have a nice day and a happy, safe new year.
You too, Jim. We appreciate the phone call. And you know what I like about Jim's guess and Anita's guess? Hey, you don't know for sure. You're taking a shot in the dark. That's the important thing. 312-981-7200 if you've got the guess for what has the longest and what has the shortest. Going to the text line for a few of them. Can't win if you text it in. 847 says, Summers, Alabama has the longest, Vermont has the shortest. What a unique and interesting guess, because of course Alabama a little bit obviously further south and Vermont further northeast. That's not the answer I'm looking for, though that's a really good guess on the text line. That isn't the answer we have there. 312-981-7200 if you think you got any guesses. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on WGN. Mike, how are you doing here today?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. What are you doing on this New Year's Eve?
Actually, I'm spending the night at home with my wife and son. We're having a family thing, just going to cook and watch some movies and just stay safe.
What are you cooking, my friend?
T-bone steaks.
Oh, man.
Twice baked potatoes, some asparagus.
Oh. Now, I don't have to come inside, but could I go in the garage or something and have a bite or two?
No problem. We can do curbside pickup.
Yeah, you're adjusting just like the restaurants. Now, where are you calling from, Mike, by the way?
Frankfurt.
Frankfurt, all right. Okay, well, Alabama has the longest, Vermont has the shortest. What is your guess?
State Constitution.
That's correct. I just grabbed the Salvation Army bell and I rang it. That is correct. Now, I got to ask you, Mike, and a lot of other people have called in with the answer too, but you were the first one. Did you know that off the top of your head? Did you do a little Googling? There's no wrong answer. It's okay if you did.
Now, I knew it off the top of my head because I'm a trivia junkie, or as my wife calls me, a fountain of useless information.
I love
so
that.
So I do a lot of trivia contests and stuff like that, so I know You know, I'm prepping for Jeopardy is what I'm doing.
There you go. Well, I'm glad we could help you. Alabama, the longest state governing document, has approximately 389,000 words. It's been amended 950 times. The average state constitution has been amended about 115 times, so about nine times as many amendments in Alabama. In Vermont, it's 8,295 words. So some quick math. I mean, we're talking like 40 times longer, the Alabama Constitution, than the Vermont Constitution. Now, did you know Alabama and Vermont, or was that a lucky guess then on the Vermont end?
It was more of a lucky guess on the Vermont. I knew that Alabama had a long one.
Yeah. And there you go. And you just took the stab in the dark. I like that. Well, tell you what, Mike.
Well, this being a legal show, I kind of had to have some kind of connection.
Yeah, there you go. See, a lot. And I think this is why the questions of the day have gotten easier, because over the months, people have figured out, yes, all these answers will have some sort of legal edge to them. But Mike, tell you what, you stay on the line, okay, and we're going to get you that prize hookup. And let me tell you what the prize is again, because it is really good stuff. You're going to get a $50 gift card to the 50/50 Restaurant Group to be used at any one of their 14 fantastic establishments across Chicago, including Roots Pizza and 50/50 Sports Bar. Enjoy that, Mike, and have a great New Year's, okay?
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. All right, Mike, you stay on hold. I'm going to talk to a couple other folks. I might have just hung up on Mike. Call back, Mike. Maria, how are you doing? You had the right answer, just a little too late. I'm sorry.
Oh, I tried multiple times and didn't get through until someone else got in right before me.
I'm sorry, Maria. Did you know that off the top of your hand, or did you have to look that one up?
I cannot tell a lie. I did look that up.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm sure that's easily Googleable. That's how I find the answers to these questions, too.
Yeah, it's an awesome way to expand your thinking. And
as long as you use it right.
One of these days, I'll be a wealth of knowledge, and I'll be able to pass it on to someone else. I did not know that until you asked it.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Great question.
Yeah, I don't know why there's such variance in state constitutions, and you know, obviously each constitution is different within the states, and of course different than the federal constitution. Why legislatures would feel the need to amend it 950 times over the
past, amazing,
right? But maybe there's different thresholds in that state than other states for what needs an amendment, right? Like, I mean, in the United States, it's really hard to amend the Constitution. Maybe in Illinois it's easier than in Alabama, and they take advantage of that. Who knows? I'll have to dive into that a little bit more, Maria. Or you just Google it and let me know.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, have a good New Year's, okay?
You too. All the best.
Yeah, and let's say hi to Kathy. Kathy, you had the right answer. Just a little late, my friend. I'm sorry.
That's the story of my life. A day late and a dollar short.
I hope not too much, Kathy. Are you doing anything fun on this New Year's Eve?
Maybe going out for a drink with a friend, but I hope to be home and in bed by night.
By 9 o'clock? Do you got to work tomorrow, or you don't like the nonsense of New Year's Eve after 9 o'clock?
No, I've been up since 4:15 this morning, so I'm tired.
Oh, my. You're already there. Yeah. I hear you there, Kathy. I was talking to our good friend Steve Bertrand about this maybe last year or the year before around this time. And our good friend, Mr. Steve, he always goes to bed before the clock strikes midnight. And I don't know what it is, but there's something about me. I just feel like I have to be up to see it. I don't know why. So even though you're home at 9, are you going to be in bed before the New Year strikes?
I'm sure I'll be asleep before the New Year strikes. I usually am.
And that doesn't bother you at all? You don't feel like you're missing anything?
No, I did much younger. I did much more of that in my younger days than anymore.
For sure. Well, Kathy, I'm sorry you were just a little late on the answer, but you did have it right, and thanks for playing, okay?
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. That was our first question of the day. I always love chatting with the folks, even if they were just a little late, if they had the right answer. Give them a little credit where credit is due. But yeah, I'm going to dive in a little bit more about why Alabama's constitution has been amended so many darn times. And again, Alabama hasn't been a state as long as Vermont has. Vermont was adopted their constitution in 1793. They used 8,295 words and just said, you know what? There we go. That's all we need today. Okay, so what's coming up a little later on? We will have another question of the day, which means another chance for you to win that $50 gift card to 50/50 Restaurant Group. And if we do have time later on to end the show, I do have some clips pulled from movies that have famous courtroom scenes, and we might have time to play a little Name That Movie. We'll just have to wait and see, and so will you. But coming up after the break, we're going to be talking taxes. And truly, this is the last day to do a lot of different things. But we'll also be looking ahead to 2022, whether it's yourself or it's your small business, your S corporation, or your LLC. What are some things that you can be doing to help yourself out, pay less taxes, or give yourself a little bit break as you start 2022? Well, we've got Michael Raff joining us. He's the Director of Tax at Gordon Law Group, and we'll be chatting with him after the news here on WGN. Wouldn't be New Year's Eve without hearing Steve and Johnny. So excited to hear them as they ring in the new year. And I was pulling up an interactive map. I'm trying to see, Bob, of who's celebrating when, right?
Right.
And I just can't find like a very simple way to do that on the internet. I'm sure there is. And I'm sure I could just do some simple math and arithmetic to figure out where we are.
Where is it already New Year's? Well, yeah. It's much of Europe six to eight hours.
Yeah, so they're
ahead.
Not there
so
yet.
They're not there yet. But I think, parts of Asia, yeah, Australia, those places.
Yeah. And there's some
tomorrow already in Japan.
Riddle me this. Maybe you don't know the answer to this. There's some that are on like the half hours I'm seeing.
Yeah. And I don't know why that is.
And Nepal Standard Time, they're going to celebrate it at 5 hours and 45 minutes ahead of when
we're... Yeah, I don't know why. There are some little micro zones or something. Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Like I get why the hours. That makes sense, of course. But why are you splitting your time zone with a half hour? Now, that's just confusing. That's not just a reset of the watch. That's really messing things up. Anyways, I'll try and figure that out a little bit better during the commercial break. I wanted to let people know each hour where we're going. I'm sure Steve and Johnny will pick up the ball with that starting at 3 o'clock. But this is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And joining us now, Michael Raff, Director of Tax at Gordon Law Group. And Michael, thanks for hopping on with us here today.
Yeah, John, thank you for having me on this New Year's Eve edition.
Yeah, right. Is it a busy time of the year for you as people start to wonder what they can do, or is it a little bit calmer in your world right now?
Oh, absolutely. No, we're seeing people very eager to pick up the ball and get rolling with this 2022 tax season that's coming up. Seeing a lot of interest in tax planning, tax filing, so really never slowed down this year. You know, we've had these sort of the extended tax season almost from July of 2020 all the way through. It's remained pretty busy.
Let's talk about a few things that people can still do in 2021. And the reason I'm starting with that is, oh boy, we're running out of time, quite literally.
You got your 11 hours left here in Chicago.
Yeah, but there are still some last-minute things you can do to lower your taxable income just a little bit. Let's start with individuals, if you don't mind, because I know it's business for cash-basis business. But let's talk about charitable contributions, because there is some confusion about this. Once they raised the standard deduction for everyone a few years ago under President Trump's tax plan, I think a lot of people thought, well, then there goes any reason to maybe make a charitable donation because, oh, I'm just going to be taking the standard deduction anyways. Of course, we should be giving to charity from the goodness of our heart anyways, but there is still a little bit that you can do to shave off a bit on your taxable income, even with the itemized deductions going away, right?
Absolutely. For last year and for this year, for 2021, there's this sort of special taxable deduction that came in, even if you're using a standard deduction, that you can still get some credit for donating to qualified 501c3s, even if you are using the standard deduction. So I think it's $300 for single filers and up to $600 this year for married filing joint taxpayers. If you make a charitable contribution to a 501c3 and are itemizing your deduction, you're a standard deduction filer, you can still get this extra deduction for the charitable contribution in addition to your standard deduction. So it's a really nice benefit to be altruistic and to still get the credit on your taxes as well, to have the deduction on your taxes as well.
Absolutely. Now, I know a lot of people have been giving to GoFundMe campaigns. Do those qualify, or are those not that 501c3 designation?
Correct. Yeah, a GoFundMe, it's a wonderful thing to do, but for tax purposes, you're looking for that contribution to public charity, to 501c3 or to other designation. But right, a GoFundMe contribution is not going to qualify for this deduction.
And I assume if you make the donation and you get some form of digital receipt or screen grab the donation, I don't know exactly how you do it, as long as it is, you know, done before midnight tonight, that's 2021.
Absolutely. You can make the deduction online. You can put it on your credit card, for example. Not have to make the actual credit card payment until 2022, but you make the deduction or make the contribution before midnight tonight, that would go towards your 2021 tax return. Absolutely.
That's great. All right. So if you're a single person, $300, married, $600, maybe if you got that one last organization you want to help out, give a donation and let us know, 312-981-7200, who you donated to. And maybe we'll give some nonprofits a little extra love today and inspire folks on this last few hours to make a charitable donation. Okay, let's talk about IRA contributions and backdoor Roth IRA conversions, which I don't even quite know what that is. I just saw it in your notes and read it word for word, making me look really smart. But IRA contributions, I know that there's a cap on how much you can give to an IRA each year, and some people can get a tax deduction on that, but not everyone's eligible for it, right?
Right, exactly. I'll refrain from giving specifics because it's dependent on everyone's facts and circumstances. But in terms of IRA contributions or Roth IRA contributions, those can be made actually up through the tax filing deadline for an individual. So up through April 15th, you can make those contributions, and that will lower for a regular, for a traditional IRA, that counts as a pre-tax contribution if you qualify, and that can actually lower your taxable income. A backdoor Roth IRA conversion is a fancy term, and people, that was actually a big buzz this year because there was some talk of getting rid of backdoor Roth IRA conversions. But a backdoor Roth IRA conversion is a tool to contribute post-tax dollars to an IRA and then immediately convert that to a Roth IRA so that when you take out the funds down the road, it can still be treated as a Roth, a non-taxable deduction. But the purpose why it's called a backdoor is because it's individuals that aren't necessarily within the income limitations to do a traditional Roth, a traditional IRA contribution where it would be tax deductible. You do it with post-tax money, immediately convert it to Roth, and then you don't have the tax consequences 20, 30 years down the road when you take it out and you have a Roth tax-free distribution, excuse me.
I have a dumb question. Why wouldn't you just put it into a Roth straight from your cash?
Because there's income limitations associated with Roth. So there's a large swath of taxpayers that are not able to make Roth IRA contributions.
I think you said that. I just didn't understand that. Okay. So yes, if you're above that limitation, you put it into a IRA and then you slide it immediately into a Roth. Okay. When is the deadline
for that? And that shouldn't be done without thought. There are definitely tax concerns if you have IRA balances open. So definitely consult with an advisor. But there was a lot of buzz around backdoor Roth IRA conversions ending this year. Or ending for next year if the Build Back Better had passed. Obviously, that's something that has not passed this year, so it's something that is still available, but people have been asking a lot of questions about it.
So the IRA contributions, by the way, you said you can do till the filing deadline, and I imagine if you're sitting there right now, you haven't done it yet, maybe take a moment and realize that you do not have to do it today and really lay out a plan that works for you. Take that extra couple of months or, extra week, whatever it takes. Just don't rush to do something like that today because you think you can, right?
Absolutely. And you also need to be careful if you make IRA contributions when you're over a certain threshold or not eligible to, you could be penalized. So because you have up until the filing deadline to make an IRA contribution, that's something that you can consult with your tax advisor while you're preparing your taxes this upcoming season. Determine if you're going to make an IRA contribution, and it can lower your taxable income.
All right, good. Yeah, so deep breaths, everyone, on those things. Charitable contributions, get them in by the end of the day. IRA stuff, talk to someone who knows what they're talking about. What about tax loss harvesting, like with cryptocurrency? If you've lost money in the stock market, stuff like that, is there things you can be doing today to help yourself lower that taxable income?
Yeah, tax loss harvesting. So interesting concepts. We can talk about regular stock for a moment and then talk about cryptocurrency, which I really like. You guys have the Bitcoin of America sponsorship now for the cryptocurrency update. I think that's
fascinating. We like that too. any sponsorship is
so
great.
Traditional. Absolutely. Traditional tax loss harvesting with stock, you have capital gains, right? So you've made large capital gains. You had some great investments. You cashed out and you're facing the capital gains you're going to have this year, and you're saying, I'm going to have to pay taxes on that. Well, you could look to some losing positions that you have in the stock market and say, well, I don't really want to hold this anyway. I might want to cash out of it. And if by doing it before midnight, you can actually net your tax losses against your winning stock positions, and maybe you get down closer to $0 of total capital gain or maybe even go negative. It's a way to say, okay, I'm going to cut loose this losing position to not have to pay taxes on my winning position or as much taxes. That's traditional tax loss harvesting. That's everything you talked about. One reason people with stocks, one thing you have to be concerned about when you're doing tax loss harvesting is to say, oh, I have a losing position in this stock, but I really still want to hold it. So I'm going to sell the stock at a loss and I'll just buy it back tomorrow. And look, I'll be in the same economic position. Well, no, you can't do that with normal stocks. There's something called the wash sale rule that prevents you from doing exactly just that.
Oh.
At a big picture level, prevents you from selling a losing position and then buying it back. Essentially, the loss gets disallowed. So you'd say, oh, you know, that didn't work out. that really didn't do anything. But something that's interesting with cryptocurrency and something that a lot of the practitioners are talking about is cryptocurrency is property for a lot of purposes. It's treated like stock. It's a capital. It's still a capital capital asset. So it goes. It gets netted against other stocks when you're figuring out your capital gain or loss. However, the wash sale rule does not specifically at this point apply to cryptocurrency.
Hmm.
So hypothetically, you could sell a losing cryptocurrency position, and cryptocurrency has been declining for about a month and a half, 2 months now. Net that loss against some other gains in cryptocurrency or other stocks that you've had throughout the year, other capital dispositions, and you could hypothetically buy that cryptocurrency back a day or two later, puts you in the same economic position, and that loss is not disregarded. That loss is allowed. That's something that may not be available into the future.
Yeah.
That's something that I think Congress might absolutely take a look at. But you've got another 11 hours to determine, hey, I've got this Dogecoin or I've got this Bitcoin position that isn't doing so well. I might cut it loose. Maybe I'll even buy it back tomorrow. You'll still be allowed that loss.
Well, right. And even like some cryptocurrencies, you can trade 24 hours a day. It's not like the traditional stock market. It's like if I sell something today on the stock market on my E-Trade account, I assume I'm not going to be able to pop it back in until Monday. And by then things could have changed. I guess there's after hour trading, of course, that people can do. But yeah, that's interesting. That's really fascinating. I did not know that if you were to sell a stock today and buy it back tomorrow, that they are going to catch you on that and say, hey, no, you can't. That's not allowed. Okay. Good to know. That changes a few things on my to-do list.
No,
I'm just kidding. No, but I did the same thing. There were a couple stocks and I'm like, this has just lost me money. I don't really want to hang on to this anymore. Might as well just take the loss, bring down my taxable income just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about tax, you know, what you should be telling your tax preparer about, you know, stimulus payments or about, you know, advanced child tax credits you got. I know it's confusing, yeah. And a tax preparer is going to help you navigate that, right?
Yeah, let's talk about the advanced child tax payments then, and those people, parents have been getting these checks in the mail over the last 6 months, and try to again explain that is an advance on the child tax credit that the parents of the taxpayers would typically get when they file their 2021 tax return in 2022. So for those parents that have been getting those checks in the mail, they're great and they're absolutely helpful, but it's a reminder that a tax refund or that one might have been expecting in April next year may not be as large, or there might be even a balance owed as a result of counting on that to go for tax payments. So it's an advance of payments that one typically would get when they file their 2021 tax return. So those payments are not stimulus, and understand when a taxpayer or parent sees their return next year, the refund or the balance, there might be a balance due that wasn't expected as a result of that. So again, keep in mind those payments are not stimulus payments. Conversely, we did have the third stimulus payment, the economic impact payment number 3 in April of 2021. And those are things that are going to need to be reported to your tax preparer because if you did or did not get a third stimulus payment, but you otherwise do qualify for it, there could be still a credit when you file your 2021 tax return. In addition, with respect to the child tax payments, you could have opted out of those payments. So
right.
If you did opt out, again, you need to let your preparer know because those are calculations that are going to have to go onto the tax return. The IRS is going to be sending out notices, I think starting soon, if they haven't done so already, with respect to whether or not a third stimulus payment was received and with respect to whether how much in the way of advanced child tax payments were received by the taxpayers. Those documents need to be given to your tax preparers because what we're seeing in our practice, not too often, but a little bit and around the tax preparer community, a lot of adjustments were made this year by the IRS with respect to the economic impact payments 1 and 2 and the recovery rebate credit, it was called, to sort of reconcile those stimulus payments. So they're going to be doing a better job this year of getting out reports to taxpayers to give to their preparers. So hopefully there doesn't have to be as much in the way of adjustments to refunds or balances due when the IRS processes those returns.
Makes sense. Hey, we do have we got a break we got to take really quickly, but I want to get this question in now just because it is important. Tom and Niles texted our IRA, and he said MRD, but I think he meant RMDs, the required minimum distributions. Yes. Are those need to be completed today, right? Those don't wait till April, as far as I know.
Like the required, I actually don't want to misspeak on that.
Well, tell you what, why don't we take a commercial break, and then we can see if we can iron that out. I heard Terry Savage the other day saying RMDs, you want to finish those today. We'll double check on that. Didn't mean to put you on the spot there, Michael. We'll take a quick commercial break and come back with more on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Michael Raff joining us. We're chatting about all things taxes that you can do here on the last day of the year. He's the director of tax at Gordon Law Group. And I broke my cardinal sin, Michael, by throwing you a question right out of the blue about something. We were talking about required minimal distributions and how some, you know, we were talking earlier about IRA contributions you can make until April 1st or to the tax filing deadline, I should say. People had questions about RMDs. I don't know if you found anything concrete. I know we don't want to give anyone incorrect information.
No. The required minimum distributions are typically going to be need to be taken by today, by December 31st. There's an exception to that if someone turns 72 in the second half of this year, if they were born after July 1, 1949, but before January 1 of 1950, then the RMD is actually due April 1st. But for the most part, for the vast majority of the public that are required to take required minimum distributions, that deadline is today.
Yeah, and so if you did turn 72, in that time span, you can wait till April 1st, I'm reading, but a lot of folks say, and I imagine you would too, hey, you're going to have two then in 1 year. The 2022 calendar year, and then that might move you to a tax bracket you weren't expecting. So that's something to talk to a professional about, I imagine, is your best bet. But yes, get those done today. I didn't realize quite how severe the penalties are if you don't take your required minimum distribution, but up to a 50% tax on some of that stuff. That's incredible.
Yeah, it could be draconian.
We have one other text message that we had. If you happen to know that wash rule that we were talking about, the selling and the buying, if you happen to know exactly how long they look at the span, if you waited a whole month?
30 days.
30 days.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. It's a 30-day before or after a look period, essentially. So you have to wait. You're going to have to put yourself in a position to wait 30 days if you want to cut a stock loose and buy it back and not be subject to the wash sale rules. And they can look into the next year. Those are for stocks and most types of capital assets. The cryptocurrency is the one exception. There are certain legal arguments that the IRS potentially could be in a position to make to even argue that even though the wash sale rule doesn't directly apply, there are other economic principles at foot if they decide to make cases out of that. But most practitioners feel safe to say that the wash sale rules do not apply to cryptocurrency at this point. So if you have those loss positions and want to reduce gain, because otherwise 2021 was a pretty bull year in the cryptocurrency market, that's not a bad idea.
Sounds good. Hey, I want to talk just briefly here because a lot of people have maybe started their own business. They've done their own thing through the pandemic, and maybe it's their first year of filing taxes either as an S-Corp or as an LLC. I imagine they want to talk to a tax preparer because there's a lot of different things there, right?
Yeah, there's actually some big news out of flow-through taxation, and this is really important. This is critical sort of solution by the end of the day. If you recall a few years ago, what's called the state and local tax limitations on taxes for itemized deductions kicked in, where you can only now take a $10,000 deduction as part of your itemized deductions for state taxes paid. Well, for business owners, this really limited the amount of itemized deductions that they might have for successful businesses. And businesses and states took notice of the federal limitations. And so one thing a lot of states, including Illinois, have now started to do is what's called pass-through entity taxation. And so this is really critical for partnerships and S corporations to listen to and potentially act by the end of the day if it's something that they're interested in. Normally, a partnership or S corporation what's called flows through income. It doesn't actually pay taxes at the entity level. It flows all the taxes, all the income through to the partners or the shareholders, and those partners and shareholders pay the income taxes at the individual level. Illinois and some other states have now said, okay, if you make an election at the entity level, partnership S-corp level, you can pay income taxes at the partnership or S-corporation level. Why would you want to do that? Well, by doing so, it will count as a deduction against your income, against the partnership or S-corporation income, which essentially will lower the income that gets flowed through to the individual on the federal tax side. Okay, so if we say instead of making $1,000, the business actually made $9,000 or $9,500 because it paid a tax to the state of Illinois, and so that's less money for the IRS to tax on. Well, great, you might say, but I just paid a lot of the business just paid a lot of money out of pocket to pay these state taxes. So where's the real benefit? Well, the benefit comes from that Illinois and the other states that have elected this are allowing a credit to be taken at the individual level for the business taxes paid. So it really winds up being a workaround to the state and local tax limitation that was imposed by Congress under the TCJA, and it's putting business owners in a really strong position now to reduce their federal taxable income and get a credit on the individual side, so they're not duplicating the taxes paid. But it's something that needs to be done, needs to be paid, especially certainly for cash basis taxpayers today. I think I don't have clarity on if an accrual basis taxpayer must make that same payment today. But the election is going to be made when you actually file your business tax return next year. But for a cash basis taxpayer, today's the day. If you haven't done so already, look into the business pass through entity taxation. And maybe make an estimate on those taxes at the state level as soon as possible. It's really a pretty good benefit.
All right. Michael Raff, Director of Tax at Gordon Law Group. You can go to GordonLawLTD.com. We appreciate your time, my friend, as always.
John, thank you so much. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Yeah, you too. All right, we're going to have the news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Then more Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.
You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, with host John Hansen. Today's New Year's Eve show is sponsored by the tax attorneys at Gordon Law Group and the personal injury attorneys at Gainsburg Law. Now, ringing in the new year, here's John Hansen and Let's Get Legal.
On 720 WGN, yeah, and they're ringing in the new year in Perm, Russia. They've been celebrating for about 11 minutes, and they're rocking. I know Perm, Russia is a wild place. 16 degrees, light snowfall there, some passing clouds as they ring in the new year. Hey, Kessler, I have an answer to one of our questions that we were asking earlier about the time zone thing, about the half hours. And I know there's some that are at the 45 minutes, so you know how time zones, when just reminding our audience, we're used to on the hour. You know, we're all in different time zones, but okay, we're on the hour. Some are off by a half hour or 45 minutes, which seems very strange. But 847 texted in that the Republic of India uses only one time zone, even though it spans across two geographical time zones across the whole nation. So Indian Standard Time, they kind of split the difference and met in the middle at 30, so as not to mess up.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes it out.
Total sense.
Well, that goes back to a conversation I believe we had earlier this year about daylight saving time and how we should just go in between. Were we talking about that?
Maybe. Yeah. You know, they all run together, Kessler, all these conversations.
But I think it was Anna. She was saying, you know, why don't we keep things on daylight saving time instead of doing the fall back thing? I said, why don't we
just shift time altogether, saying?
Like, keep it, move it a half hour and just keep it the same the whole year round.
Right. So like from midnight to 12:30, we could just say this is the pause and then we restart it and then we're just a half hour between them.
And then never reset our clocks again.
Kessler, that's the most genius idea I've ever heard in my life. Because I agree. I think that there are some times where I'm like, oh, I'm glad we're moving it forward because, the sunset's getting really late in the morning. But now we're going to be way too late in the, you're right. So let's just make everyone upset or everyone happy. That's what compromise is all about. And just pause time for 30 minutes.
Right.
Well, I'm sure there's a flaw in our logic somewhere that a texter or caller will let us know about.
They did. It sounds like kind of a version of that in India in a sense. Way.
So Patna, India, even though it's 1:12, now 1:13 in WGN, they've been celebrating the new year for 43 minutes because they are on that They're 11 and a half hours ahead of us.
Okay.
This is a legal talk show, everyone. I am John Hansen. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Got Carm in the sports office now as well. I'm sure we'll be chatting about some sports-related things. Carm, you do any big celebrations for the new year? Keep it chill?
Huge celebration tonight, John. No, I got. Yeah. I have nothing planned.
Yeah, neither do I, and I can't wait. Yes. Do you stay up till midnight, or do you make a point of it?
I do like to make it to midnight.
Right. I was talking to Bertrand once, and he said, I haven't seen the new year in like 20 years. And I don't really get, I know it will happen whether I'm awake or not, but there is something about being awake in that moment that feels like I should be, right?
Yeah, at least, I mean, you could take a nap along the way, but be there at midnight. Come on, let's have a moment.
Let's all have a moment together, right? We don't get many collective moments anymore together, even though we're apart, but you know what I'm saying. Let's do it.
Be on a Zoom. Be awake for somebody who's in the house with you.
Give him a kiss.
You know, just let's do some jumping jacks. I don't know. Come on. Start 2022 and or any year off right.
Yeah, at least be awake. You don't even have to do anything all that special. Just keep your eyes open, people.
Low bar.
Yeah.
Have a cheers. Doesn't even need to be alcohol. Have a sip of water. Let's go. Hydrate.
Start those New Year's resolutions right away early.
Exactly.
Hydrate more. Drink more water. Chug something at midnight. I agree with you, Carm.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like I'll do it. I think I'll take a nap after the show and make sure that I'll listen to Steve and Johnny, of course. But, you know, just sneak away for a half hour in their show, and I'll do that. Hey, here's our question of the day. We already had one, so we get another one here because it's a holiday. 312-981-7200. And normally I just kind of ask a question and you answer it. That's how this works. But I've actually made a limerick to set up the question. And I'm actually looking for a very specific answer here. So here we go. I got to read this limerick. Here we go. 44 words split the country in two. Anger and animosity were left to brew. The cities kept roaring, rural areas rather boring. But these 15 words were one big undo. That's a mess. I'm going to do it one more time here for you. 44 words split the country in two. Anger, animosity were left to brew. The cities kept roaring, rural areas rather boring, but these 15 words were one big undo. What 15 words am I talking about? 312-981-7200. If you know the answer here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. John Hansen here till 3 o'clock. And the idea of staying up till midnight has got some folks on the text line chiming in. I love this one. 847 says, this year I will be there at midnight. Not so much to welcome in 2022, but to make sure 2021 actually leaves, which I appreciate. Whatever you need to do to stay awake and make sure the year happened and is over is great. 312-917-200. Man, first question of the day, people were chiming in with the right answer, probably because they can Google it, you know? Not that they were all cheating at the answer, but we had a lot of right answers to the first question of the day. This one is a little bit tougher, so I'm going to give you the limerick one more time. Hopefully get some answers or some guesses on the phone lines. Again, if you don't have a set answer, just take a wild stab at it. And the winner is going to get a $50 gift card to the 50-50 restaurant group. So here it is again. Here's the limerick. 44 words split the country in two. Anger, animosity were left to brew. The cities kept roaring. Rural areas, though, were boring. But these 15 words were one big undo. 312-981-7200 if you have any guesses. I've really confused everyone on this one. Pretty proud of that. You can get a $50 gift card to the 50-50 restaurant group to be used at one of their 14 fantastic establishments all over Chicago, including Roots Pizza and the 50-50 Sports Bar. Man, no one's getting this one. No one's chiming in with the answer.
15 words, that's a good chunk.
Yeah, 15 words. You don't have to give me all 15 words. Sorry, let me clarify. Great point, Bob. I'm not asking you to read me all 15 words. Just what am I talking about? Generally speaking, you know, what am I referring to? So it starts with 44 words. That split the country in two. Anger and animosity left to brew. Cities were roaring. Rural areas were boring. But then 15 words were one big undo. 312-981-7200 if you got any guesses. But yeah, you're going to get a $50 gift card to 5050 Restaurant Group used at any one of their 14 fantastic establishments, including Roots Pizza, which I know, Carm, you've had a lot of Roots Pizza here this year for sure, and plenty of other places as well. So if you got a guess, let me know, 312-981-7200. The phone lines are lighting up now. We're going to get some of those lit up here and give Andrew a chance to answer and get the questions lined up. I do want to go through some of these new laws of 2022 that everyone should be aware of and see if you have any comment on those. Senate Bill 1682 goes into effect tomorrow. It requires pharmacies to post a notice that informs customers that they can request the retail price of brand name or generic prescription drugs. Okay. And here's one that really got people hot and bothered was Illinois students are now allowed up to 5 mental health related excused absences from school to prioritize their mental health, private or public schools. Okay. Let's go to the phone line, see if we can get an answer to the question of the day. Let's go to Jack. Hey, Jack, you're on WGN. Where are you calling from today, Jack?
Chicago.
Whereabouts in the neighborhood? What neighborhood you in?
The north side.
North side?
Andersonville.
Oh, nice. Love Andersonville. Is Lady Gregory still open up there on Clark?
I'm trying to think. I'm not sure because a lot of them, it might have closed. I'm not sure.
All right. Okay. That's okay. I'm not asking you to go look. What's your guess to the riddle?
Well, Emancipation Proclamation.
That's a great guess, and that is where I was trying to trick people with. It is not the Emancipation Proclamation, but it's a great guess. Thank you, my friend, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Jack. Sorry, I cut you off there. What were you going to say?
It was me.
Oh, okay. Jack letting his wife or someone in the house letting know that was him on the radio. 312-91-7200. A 44 words split the country in two. Anger and animosity were left to brew. The cities were roaring. Rural areas quite boring. But these 15 words were one big undo. Andrew's manning the phone lines. He'll get a couple other answers ready to go. I'll go through some more new Illinois laws, including the minimum wage increase to $12 an hour. That will continue to increase on January 1st each year until it reaches $15 an hour in 2025, which, of course, a lot of places have already moved that way. I know Chicago, I think Kessler, if I'm not mistaken, is already at $15 an hour, but statewide, they're going to require that by 2025. So those of you that are making less than that, if you're around at $11 an hour, you're moving up to $12 starting tomorrow, which is certainly some good news. The law recognizing Juneteenth as an official state holiday celebrating the end of slavery in the U.S. will now be recognized as National Freedom Day in Illinois. And, of course, the U.S. House and Senate passed that recognition as well. But House Bill 3922 effectively goes into effect tomorrow. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Maybe we can get an answer. Pat, you are on WGN. Pat, where are you calling from here today?
I'm calling from Rockford.
Rockford. I just passed through Rockford this morning. I waved hello. It went. It was a good pass on through.
Well, that was nice of you.
Yeah. Did you see it? Did you hear me?
I thought I heard something. I wasn't sure, but I thought I heard something.
That's great. All right. What am I talking about with my poem there?
I think you're talking about prohibition.
And what about prohibition?
That it was enforced, that you couldn't have drinks and what have you.
You're almost there, Pat.
Oh no.
You've got the 44 words right. And I'm gonna leave it at that. Thanks for playing, Pat, okay?
Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
So Pat has the 44 words of what split the country into. Kathy's calling in. Kathy, where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Orland Park.
Orland Park, South Suburbs. How's everything going down there?
Hey, really good. I'm the one that called you. I was a day late, an hour short, but this time I'm not. I got the right answer.
I am so excited. All right. So Pat gave us that it was prohibition. Those were the 44 words. What were the 15 words that I'm looking for, Kathy?
It's the repeal of the prohibition.
Boom. And Kathy called last hour. That's right. She had the right answer, but a little late. Kathy, you have our answer here today. Any idea? Do you have the language in front of you? It was the 21st Amendment. What repealed prohibition, or do you want me to read it?
You can read it. Actually, my husband came up with it because he said the term of brew and then the roaring for the Roaring Twenties and the brew for the alcohol.
Kathy, I just tell your husband thank you, because I spent last night trying to come up with that limerick and adding little clues in there. I didn't know if anyone would notice the brew or the roaring referring to the Roaring Twenties, but just tell your husband I appreciate that he got that, okay?
I sure will.
All right, so here's what it is. The 18th Amendment enforced prohibition and the 21st Amendment, which I'll have to check. It's probably our shortest amendment. It's the only one that's there to repeal another one, and it just says, the 18th article of amendment to the Constitution of the United States is hereby repealed. And that is our 21st Amendment after, I think it was 12 years of prohibition. That went through the late teens and early, the early 20s to the early 30s. And Kathy, stay on the line, okay? I want to get you that prize, all right?
I sure will. Thanks.
Thanks. And that's what we call persistence, people. Kathy's going to stay on the line. Andrew's going to help her out and make sure that she gets that 50-50 restaurant group to be used at any one of their 14 fantastic establishments all over Chicago, including Roots Pizza and the 50-50 Sports Bar. I'll read it one more time just so you can hear the, I'm very proud of this limerick, if you guys can't tell, Bob and Mark. But 44 words split the country in two. That was the 18th Amendment. Anger and animosity were left to brew. It was not all that popular. It really split people. The cities kept roaring. Yep, they kept the Roaring Twenties going, and there was a lot of speakeasies all over Chicago and New York. I've watched that Ken Burns Prohibition documentary a few times. I forget what the exact number was, but I think it was one bar or one speakeasy for every like 200 or 300 New Yorkers, which just seems absolutely crazy to me. So the cities kept roaring. Rural areas rather boring. That's an editorial statement. Obviously, if you are against alcohol, maybe you don't think that's all that boring, but some people consider them boring. And the 15 words were the 21st Amendment for the big undo. Kathy knew the answer. Her husband did too, and they're going to get the prize, which is great. 312-917-200 is the phone number. You can join us on any sort of topic. I just scrolling through some of these other new laws that go in effect tomorrow. This one's interesting. House Bill 226. It allows students to choose whether to submit their ACT or SAT score when applying to Illinois public institutions. So I guess you don't have to submit your test scores anymore. Or does that mean you can choose which one you want to submit? I need to look into that a little bit more, but I know it's helping some students out to not have to. I imagine a lot of folks didn't even take the tests these years. I know a lot less colleges are using standardized testing as a means for letting people in or out of their schools. But that House Bill 226 allows students to choose whether to submit their ACT or SAT score when applying. House Bill 3027 tomorrow allows the Secretary of State to provide expectant mothers in their third trimester a 90-day disability parking decal or device. I am shocked to find out that pregnant mothers in general, let alone just ones in the third trimester, were not given access to a disability parking decal. That seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I always thought it was for expected. Maybe it was up to each store. Because I have seen some signs that say, you know, it has the traditional sign, and then it says, or expectant mothers. So maybe people were doing it on their own. But House Bill 3027 now codifies that. So if you're going to be in your third trimester, get one of those signs. You can park wherever you want. Senate Bill 672, employers are not permitted to enter non-compete agreements with any employee whose earnings are below $75,000 a year. That's an interesting one. There was certain food chains, sandwich makers, that would put non-compete clauses so one worker wouldn't go from one sandwich shop to another. And they said, hey, if you're not paying people $75,000 a year, they can go wherever they want to go. They can work at whatever fast food restaurant they want to work at.
Sell your sandwich-making secrets.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah. As if it's not saying it's not a hard job. Don't get me wrong. That has got to be a tough to deal with customers and stuff. But what are the trade secrets of sandwich making? I don't know. Actually, tell me. 312-91-7200. We'll get to that and plenty more here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, after the news here on WGN. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Bob, I just let out an audible gasp when you broke that news.
Betty White.
Oh, that's just too bad.
So beloved.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, she even played on the running joke of that she made it past certain people. I know there's a
right.
Twitter about Betty White outlived this, outlived that. Not only just people, but things or rules, laws. It's Oh, that's New Year's Eve too.
And such longevity in her career. You know, she got started probably in the '40s, maybe
100%.
And so, but then just stayed around. Did you know the '70s was the Mary Tyler Moore, and then the Golden Girls in the '80s into the '90s, and she just always stayed relevant, and people just loved her. I remember that campaign for her to be on Saturday Night Live 10, 11 years ago. And it wasn't, you know, that was brought about, I think, largely by fan support.
Oh, for sure.
You know? And so, yeah. And the Golden Girls is still, still holds up pretty well.
Oh, Golden Girls holds up better than most shows,
yeah.
Especially from that era. They were very progressive in the things they were willing to talk about, pregnancy, LGBTQ rights, those sorts of things. And the jokes hold up really well, too. Well written. And when I'll be reading a Rosen Island St. Olaf's story.
Back in St. Olaf's.
Back in St. Olaf's.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, I have such fond memories. My grandmother liked the Golden Girls. She was in her mid-70s at the time.
Uh-huh.
And this was like the first sitcom maybe that catered to people her age. But I was a youngster at the time, 12, 13. And we'd watch it.
It's so funny.
Know? Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to commiserate with us on the passing of Betty White. But let's talk about some of the biggest stories, law stories, here in 2021. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And, of course, the wonderful Karen Conti joining us now. Karen, how are you doing here on this New Year's Eve?
I'm doing well, getting ready for some celebrations, which probably will end about 9 o'clock for me at my age.
No, what? Come on. At 35, you can still party with the rest of them, Karen.
I could stretch it to 10, maybe.
Yeah, do you always stay up for the new year, or are you okay going to bed and never seeing it ring in?
You know, I used to celebrate all the time because I really like New Year's. Mm-hmm. I really think it's a cool time to kind of reflect and to be with friends and family. But in the passing few years, it's just not fun anymore. It's just, all big restaurants, and then now it's all closed. So I'm okay with just seeing in the new year the following morning.
Just make sure, hey, you wake up. Okay, we did it. We're in 2022.
Right.
Let's talk about some of the top stories. And boy, it's hard to pick them this year, Karen. It's amazing when you look back at all the things that have happened in this country from a law perspective. And right off the bat, I just think of trial after trial after trial that just captivated the country.
I mean, yes, if you look at it, Chauvin, R. Kelly, Rittenhouse, Jussie Smollett, the Kim Potter trial, Ghislaine Maxwell, mm-hmm. all those cases happened, and Ahmaud Arbery, and on, happened in 2021.
Yeah, and they represented more than just the case themselves often, right? They were bigger, broader American issues that really not only, it wasn't like a certain trial where everyone feels like they know what the outcome's going to be and they're rooting for that or against that, but these were issues that really split the country in half too.
Well, and our country's so split anyway, so I think when people are watching these trials these days, they're not just looking at the facts and they're not just looking at what happened in this particular 5 seconds or 5 minutes, but they're looking and seeing like what should happen. Like with Rittenhouse, I mean, there were half the country that thought that he was a hero and a Second Amendment a person to be looked up to, and the other half said he was a kid in the wrong place who was trying to disrupt the right to protest. So you have these polarized views of trials that make them, you're right, into something larger than they really are.
Yeah, and a trial that really split people was Donald Trump's second impeachment trial, which is one of those things that I still can't believe that was in this calendar year. That feels like so long ago, but of course it was after he left office in early, he left office January 20th, but it happened late January, early February. So let's talk about your 5 legal news stories of the year. I don't know if you got a certain order to them or if you just want to kind of pick one and start us off.
Yeah, I didn't include the Trump impeachment. I should have, probably, because it's historic. That's never happened before. But, it's really not a legal proceeding.
Sure.
I always view impeachment as sort of, it's politics. Do we want him out of office? Do we not? And there's really even no legal standards.
Yeah.
But let's go through it. The one that didn't have a lot of fanfare but really affected a lot of people was the Supreme Court upholding Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, 23 million people were covered under Obamacare. And had this been overturned by the Supreme Court, court, there would have been a problem for these people, and it would have caused them to have to shuffle, and who knows what would have happened. But again, it was a quiet result, but I think that it was very important for the American people.
Karen, I wonder if it was quiet, and I think, I mean, this is me guessing, but you know how we like to read the tea leaves based on what happens in oral arguments? I think a lot of prognosticators could see which way the court was leaning, and then it was almost fait accompli when it happened in the actual release of the decision in June.
You're right. When you listen to the arguments, you kind of could see where they were going, but you have to know that you never know. Yeah. You never know until you see that decision, because I've been in front of the Supreme Court, I've been in front of other appellate courts, and sometimes the justices and the judges are talking, kind of playing devil's advocate, trying to get elicit from you positions, you know, maybe that are against what they're actually going to rule on. So, you know, you just never know what they're doing and what little games they're playing, but in that case, you kind of did see which way the wind was blowing.
All right. What's another one here you got for us?
I got to throw in Capitol riots. You know, this was an unprecedented attack on our government, the likes of which we have never seen. There were $500 million in costs, 5 deaths, many, many injured, including 138 police officers. And we've had at least a little over 700 people charged and are going through the criminal justice process now, with probably more to be charged in the future. And I just think this is a real lesson in history and a day that people are going to look back on. I mean, your great-grandchildren are going to be reading about it in a history book, because it was such magnitude. And it has a lot of whistles and bells, too, about politics and about prosecution and about the branches of government working, trying to coordinate together to get the job done.
Yeah, and this one's really going to span into 2022, because I think we had some of the lesser charges earlier that were filed by the Department of Justice, some of the trespassing, some of the, you know, walking unlawfully in a place that you knew you shouldn't be, which I think is just another fancy way to say trespassing. But, and people were, I know some people at least, were upset that all of these, they're not getting the book thrown at them. As we've progressed and we've started getting like the quote unquote QAnon shaman, he got a pretty lengthy trial, or excuse me, sentence. This is going to be a story that we watch into 2022 as well.
Well, absolutely, because there's going to also be civil lawsuits for all the people who are injured, for all of the damage that was done. I mean, they're trying to even sue these QAnon organizations to try to hold them accountable for some of these things, just so as not to have this happen again. And again, I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen any legislation that has somehow done something to try to prevent this from happening again. But again, how would you have ever predicted something right like this would happen in our country?
Right. And I guess I shouldn't be all that surprised they haven't come up with legislation. It's kind of hard for them to get anything done, it seems like, this year.
Even the investigation into it has been political.
100%, you're right.
Where some politicians say we shouldn't even examine this. Why? Because it's going to reflect poorly on some politician. I mean, it makes no sense. This should be investigated. It should be prosecuted. It should be dealt with. And it should be, we should do something so that this never, ever happens again.
For sure. All right, what do you got for number three?
I got number three. I just put them in a big group, anti-vaccination, anti-mask mandate lawsuits. And we've had hundreds of them brought by employees against employers, hospital workers against hospitals, college students against colleges, and of course the federal mandate and the like. And again, I just lump them all together. I would say that generally speaking, it shows that many people in our country do not want to be bound by anything in particular, even if it's something that seems to be healthy for people and seems to be in the public's good, and they just don't want to be made to do something. And I think that largely the courts are upholding these mandates and allowing employers and allowing states to put these rules on people, as long as they're reasonable, as long as they're in the best interest, and that constitutionally they are viable.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see if the federal mandate, which the Biden administration is kind of using OSHA as their avenue of for businesses that have over 100 employees,
right,
mandate. We'll have to wait and see where that one goes. And it's interesting, Karen, because obviously these are laws pertaining to this current moment, right? Vaccines, masks, that sort of thing. But really, the laws that the Supreme Court and other appellate courts are going to be tackling here will have ramifications in terms of what the role of the executive branch, what the role of our government is in other aspects of our lives, too. These rulings have permeate into different parts besides just the COVID-19 situation.
That's true. And, you know, if people, if you really look at the law, and as boring as it might be, that over 100 years ago, we had a Supreme Court ruling that upheld vaccination mandates in certain circumstances, certainly in the government, certainly in the Army. So this is not unprecedented, but you're right. It will have legs in the future when it comes to perhaps other pandemics that we might have, or even other issues about what the states can do in a moment where, you know, they feel like they need to enact laws to protect the people under their police power. It's in the Constitution.
I don't think we've had discussions in any other year as heated as bond hearings in Cook County versus other counties, crime discussions. I mean, it's a real big story here in the past year and will continue to be.
Yeah, I think in Chicago, across the country, I mean, you're seeing, I mean, we have 2,000 carjackings. Those are the ones reported. In Chicago alone, you know, we've had all the smash and grabs. We've had over 800 murders, actually more than 1,000 murders and like something like 3,500 shootings alone in Chicago. So, again, we're seeing this uptick. And, you know, the question is it because we're letting people out on bond? I'm not sure if that's the case. I think that we have to look at that issue. But I think what's going on now is looking at more of the why are these things happening? Why are petty disputes ending up in murder as opposed to, you know, back in the old days, just a few words between people? And some of it have to do with money, but a lot of them have to do with petty disputes. So how culturally do you stop this kind of violence from happening? And I think that's what we need to examine.
Yeah, and it'll be really interesting to see how the pendulum goes, Karen, because we saw a real high increase in crime in the early 90s, and one of the pendulum swings and answers and retorts to that was the 1994 crime bill, which in the last election and over the past few years has been decried by people as draconian, certain aspects of it horrific, or nearly universal against what part of the 1994 crime bill is. So it'll be an interesting dance for politicians and lawmakers and prosecutors to avoid a strong pendulum swing, perhaps, that could be looked at in 30 years as too far, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, that's right. Because, you know, the Mayor Lightfoots of the world and the politicians of the world want to get reelected. And if your constituents' number one issue is, I don't feel safe walking outside of my house, you can be sure that there are going to be actions taken that are going to be, like you said, a pendulum swinging the other way.
Yeah, that's why we don't need politicians. Karen Conti, John Williams, I'm trying to think of a few other people we just put in a room. You guys sort it out for us. The last one I want to get to before we take a break and look forward to 2022, you know, we have these high-profile trials. Which one would you pick as the one that I guess maybe might have the most lasting impact, be remembered the most 30, 40 years from now to round out your five top law stories of the year?
That's so hard because, you know, I like the R. Kelly case in that finally it culminated in somebody who for three decades has had these accusations thrown at him, finally put him in jail. And, you know, I just like the whole idea that the media really pushed that issue. The Rittenhouse trial, again, was an interesting case because it had all those issues of right to protest and gun rights. And, you know, Derek Chauvin's case was the ending of a case that really sparked the protest that sort of, you know, drove this country into a real dark place in the last couple of years. So I think those three, I'm not sure I can pick which one.
You don't have to. It's fine. We'll just go with 5, 6, and 7. We'll lump them all together. All right, well, let's take a quick break. I'm going to put Karen on hold. We're going to chat with her next about what's coming up for 2022 here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. 720 WGN, John Hansen in on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. I was almost going to say in four, but this is our show here today from noon to three, just on a different day. We did it last week on Christmas Eve, and here we are again on New Year's Eve. So no Let's Get Legal tomorrow, but I will be in tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Actually, till 12:30. I'll take you to Blackhawks pregame tomorrow. And we'll be talking for sure a little bit more about the Betty White stuff, the news breaking today that she passed at the age of 99. And we'll talk about other entertainment things along the way and plenty more. That's tomorrow. But right now we're talking with Karen Conti. Some more legal things to look forward to, I guess, in 2022. I don't even want to talk about predictions, Karen, things we can take to the bank.
Well, you know, Roe versus Wade, it was argued this year, and we're expecting a decision. They're saying June. My guess is it might be a little bit sooner than that. But by all accounts, and again, we can't really tell from the arguments exactly what the ruling is going to be, but wow, did they really speak loudly when, you know, I'm thinking they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And, you know, if that's the case, that's going to be the first time in this country that most people, you know, young people grew up with having a right to choose. And it's going to change things in many states, not in Illinois, probably, because I think we're going to still have the right to choose. But mm-hmm. I think it's going to change, and I think there will be protests and legislation and all kinds of political arguments.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because some states have codified it and made it legal. I don't want to speak out of turn. I think Illinois may have already done it in anticipation, just in case. I'll have to double check on that, so don't quote me. But other states have.
That is the case.
Okay.
That is the case. There is a statute that says that, you know, loosely, that that you cannot basically outlaw abortion, you know, in this state. So we're protected as far as that goes. But there are many states, you know, in the Bible Belt in the South that are going to immediately turn around and ban abortion.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think that's where they're heading. And then there's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, whether it's a complete overhaul of Roe v. Wade or throwing it out, whether it's like some sort of navigated middle where I think Justice Roberts was trying to weave an area where maybe they just decide that, hey, in Mississippi, the 15 weeks is what they've registered. That's okay. But, you know, abortion's still held up. And then people are like, well, that's not effective. So I guess what we have to do is wait and see exactly what they rule and see how far they go in this determination. This happened in 2021, the really sad shooting in Michigan, the parents being charged as well for, you know, their role in their son's alleged, you know, outbreak at the school, the murder of I think it was 4 students in a Michigan school. This will be interesting going into 2022. Do you think other situations may happen where parents are held responsible for the gun crimes of their children?
I think this is going to be a trend, John, because when you saw this case, in this case, they always say bad facts make either bad law or good law. And I think these bad facts really highlighted the idea that, you know, from at least what I can see, these parents knew this kid had trouble. This kid, these parents not only, you know, they bought him a gun, you know, just recently. They ignored the school's request that he get counseling. They put him back to school. They knew he had access to the gun. And this is what happened. And in fact, after it happened, as you recall, the mom kind of said, no, don't do it, knowing that her son was responsible for it. So, yeah, I think this is going to put a highlight on this. And, you know, again, people love their guns, and I understand that. I'm not a big gun fan. But, again, shouldn't there be simple legislation that says if you have children in the house, you have to lock your guns up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to put them in a place where they're safe. And I hear people say, well, when someone comes in, then I can't access it. Well, you know, you got to take your pick. You want your kids to, you know, put the gun to their head or take a gun to school or have someone's friend come in and take the gun. You know, those are the things that I think we're going to see in the legislatures. And again, they'll be challenged by the NRA. But I think this case really is going to change the way some of these people look at the issue.
When we had Free Britney recently, I thought maybe we were done hearing about Britney Spears, but you think that there could still be some ramifications in that case moving forward?
I do. I see that perhaps the father is going to be sued. I mean, we don't know the facts here, and everything is kind of under lock and key for all these years, but what we do know is that Britney Spears was working, making millions of dollars, and her father was actually taking more than she was being allowed to keep. That just doesn't seem right to me. And, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions about why she had the conservatorship. Did she actually need it? What was going on with her money? So I think we're going to see maybe some litigation against the father, either to disgorge some of the money that he took or maybe even the idea that he mismanaged her career.
You know, election law, we could do a whole show on this because election laws are determined by the states right now. And there are federal election laws and there are rights in our Constitution. So it's a real interesting debate between our federal government and state governments and how they're handling election laws. And that'll really be interesting to see how it plays out in 2022.
Yeah, I think people are surprised because I think a lot of people think that election laws should be federal, right? Because we all have a right to vote. Why isn't it federal? But it's right in the Constitution that the states, you really do get to make their election laws and rules. And you're seeing this, all this stuff really relating to the whole January 6th thing, where there's a whole group of people out there who think that the election was stolen, that there was voter fraud, and even though there's been no substantial proof whatsoever, there are people that believe it, and I think politicians are glomming onto that and are trying to pass these laws that really restrict the rights of voters, which right. I think is unfortunate. I say let's make sure that no one votes twice, make sure dead people don't vote. But other than that, I think we should encourage people to vote, and people who can't drive and people who maybe don't have the a driver's license, you know, they should all be able to vote in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, or they don't work 9 to 5, and or they do work 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and there's times that they can't vote. Perhaps it's not such a bad idea for well-run polling places to be open at odd hours, but in some states they are now trying to make that not the law. It'll be interesting. The Department of Justice is getting involved. I believe they've sued Georgia, saying that they violated some federal rights. So this will be an interesting thing to play out as we go through the year.
Absolutely.
Hey, Karen, I know you would never give a shout out to yourself, so I just want to, we have a shout out on the text line to you. She says, a shout out to Karen Conti. Just listen to this woman. She is brilliant, eloquent, and unpretentious. The texter went on to describe ways that you've helped them out in the past, and they said that you're an extraordinary asset to our radio station. Happy New Year to all. Karen, I agree with that, and we appreciate you coming on, okay?
And tell my husband that was a nice call.
I'll pass that along. Thank you, Karen. Have a good one.
Happy New Year to everyone.
For sure. And okay. Of course, you can hear Karen on Sundays, 3 to 5. Of course, we got a lot of sports that intercede in that show sometimes, so it moves around a bit. But, of course, Karen Conti, just such a great asset here at WGN Radio. All right, news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, with host John Hansen. Today's New Year's Eve show is sponsored by the tax attorneys at Gordon Law Group and the personal injury attorneys at Gainsburg Law. Now, ringing in the new year, here's John Hansen and Let's Get Legal.
Yes, we are ringing in the new year, 209, now 2010 here on 720 WGN, which means, let's do some quick math, we are 9 hours and 50 minutes away from ringing in the new year, 2022. I hope you're excited for that, or maybe you're just going to go to sleep. Let us know, 312-981-7200. I was telling folks earlier, I've had this discussion with Steve Bertrand in the past. He goes to sleep, and I believe he still does, every year before midnight, has no problem doing it, wakes up the next morning, he knows it's 2022, and he moves on with his life. I, for whatever reason, feel I need to be awake at midnight. I do not know if it's because I feel like it doesn't happen if I'm not there. I know that that doesn't make any sense, but I just feel like I should be there for that moment. Karma agrees with me. I don't know if y'all do too. 312-981-7200. Are you ringing in the new year? Are you staying awake? Or are you okay going to bed early? Okay, I wanted to clean up one thing, actually a couple things, points of order here. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. We had Michael Raff on from Gordon Law Group. He's the tax guy there. And one thing he mentioned to me, but I didn't have a chance to mention it on the air, if you are a business or if you are an S-Corp or an LLC and you had a good year, another way to bring down your income is to make a big asset purchase to reduce your taxable income. So if there's something you wanted to buy for your company that's going to help you run better, you can do it today. Even if the credit card bill isn't paid till next month, it counts as a purchase this year. I forgot to mention that. We ran out of time, but that is there. And, Carm, I did want to bring you in. I just saw one story across, and maybe I don't think you talked about this yet, about the Winter Classic tomorrow night, that they're actually going to be heating the ice because it's going to be so cold in Minneapolis tomorrow for the Winter Classic.
Bubal and I were kicking that around yesterday, and he was asking me, why are they heating the ice? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the most difficult question that I'd ever presented on WGN Radio.
It is a very existential question in a way, too, right?
Yeah, and so this is at Target Field. This is a baseball field. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have an elaborate system to do this, so heat blowers?
Yeah. How do they do it? I don't know. Is it wiring underneath? Probably not, right? Because it's a baseball field.
Right. So, you know, indoors, they have the ice regulated to a certain temperature, and no matter how cold or warm it is outside, they can get it done. But outdoors, it seems like a larger challenge.
Yeah.
And I guess they're worried about maybe ice blocks. But if the ice is really, really, really frozen ice, John,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
then they might crack, and there's danger for the players.
No good.
So, but I'm talking to my buddies up in the Minneapolis region, and people up there are just fired up to be a part of the coldest winter classic of all time. God bless them, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, I know we had the Soldier Field one where it snowed here those years ago. I think the Hawks beat Pittsburgh that game. They, of course, had the one at Wrigley Field a few years before that. It's always an exciting event. You can catch it here, right here on WGN tomorrow, by the way, after the Blackhawks game. But I actually had a chance, Carm, for the first time ever yesterday. I was up on Lake Redstone in Sauk County, Wisconsin, and we shoveled out a part of the lake. I had my ice skates.
Come on.
And I, for the first time, little pond skating.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Tell you what, fell down a couple times, and I'm an okay skater. You can find it on my Twitter page, John Hansen Talks, because, yeah, that ice is rough. It is not like United Center ice. Just nature doesn't happen that way. It was bumpy. It was groovy. It was not easy to skate on, my friend. Have you ever done a pond skating before?
No, and I got to be honest, I would be very, very scared.
I walked around a lot before I did it, right? Because I was a little nervous, too, but they say it was like 7 inches deep, and apparently you could drive a truck on that or something. Don't quote me, anyone that's about to drive a truck on the ice, but I think it's like 8 inches. You can drive a truck across the ice, no problem. It's crazy.
Yeah, I would really enjoy the experience. Mm-hmm. I probably would want to see people just skate around for a little while. Okay, can you cover the whole lake, please? And
you'd let me be the guinea pig out there first.
I mean, if you fell in, that would not be good,
no,
John.
No good, not at all. I wanted to kind of tie a rope around my body and have someone on shore just holding on just in case, but no one volunteered for that. And it worked out okay. Yeah, I kind of figured it'd be like a cartoon. I'd do one ice skate in a circle, and then the circle would just completely fall into the ice, but that science doesn't back that up, Karma. They say I'm okay.
Yeah, well, once you fall and you have a good thud and nothing bad happens, I think that's when yes. You probably settle in that, okay, I'm good.
Yes, if my whole body is cascading down to the ice at a real fast pace and we didn't go through, we're okay. 312-917-2200. We did have a text from the 309 saying that we watch the ball fall in New York City. We kiss and say Happy New Year and go to bed at 11:30 p.m. If you're staying up till 11:30... You tell me you can't make it 30 more minutes to see it happen here in Chicago? If you go to bed, if you're up at 4 in the morning, you go to bed at 9 and you just want to keep your routine, maybe you got to work the next day. I don't know what the case is. Okay. If you're making it till 11:30, Carm, half an hour more. Come on.
Yeah, I don't want to call anybody out here, but like, look, live with integrity. You're cheating it because it was midnight in New York? Come on, man. That ain't right.
That ain't right. 312-981-7200. You're staying up the whole time. What are you doing? We'll get to that. Also, we're going to talk to attorney Audrey Anderson. She's a criminal defense attorney. I wanted to ask her about this crazy story in Colorado where a bunch of people were very upset about a long sentence that was issued to a truck driver in just a horrific situation, but the governor stepped in. I didn't know if that was rare or not, so I figured she'd be the one to help us through that. We'll get to that after this here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. 219 here on this New Year's Eve. John Hansen on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. 312-917-2200 is our phone number. I'd love to know how you're celebrating the new year. Are you always staying up, and is this year no different? Or are you okay with going to bed early? We had a couple texts coming in. 708 says, I gotta stay up. FOMO. I have major FOMO if I don't stay up. 773 says, I don't stay up on purpose anymore. But if it turns out I'm up at midnight, that's okay, too. If I'm awake at 11:30, I would definitely wait 30 more minutes to ring in the new year before heading to bed. All calculated, of course, here in Chicago time. Yeah, that's how I am. Maybe I'll watch it from bed this year. I don't know. I'm pretty tired today. But at least turn the TV on for that moment. Maybe get a pot or a pan. That's what we used to do as kids, is get outside and bang pots and pans all over Plymouth Court out there in Downers Grove. I know a lot of it's supposed to ward away spirits or something. I don't know if it worked, but that's certainly something we did as kids. 312-981-7200. Let us know how you're celebrating the new year. Anything fun or different this year? And we're going to bring in Audrey Anderson. I figured, you know, we've talked to Audrey Anderson about 10 times on this show this year. What's one more? Audrey, criminal defense attorney, thanks for hopping on with us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, always. Anderson Attorneys and Advisors, AndersonAA.com is where you can find her and all the great stuff they do there. First of all, before we get to the case at hand, Audrey, I wanted to ask, how do you ring in the new year? Are you up at midnight?
I am up at midnight. And yes, it's just low-key watching the ball drop in New York and the fireworks everywhere.
Do you bang pots and pans or anything superstitious that you do that has been passed on in your family?
No, we don't, but it made me laugh that you do that. Neighbors did that growing up.
Yeah, it's always fun. I don't know if the neighbors would be too happy if I did it outside my balcony. They have a one-year-old just in the balcony below me, so I think I will avoid doing that this year. We brought you on to talk about this. It's a real sad case all the way around. The Colorado governor, Jared Polis, is commuting the sentence of a truck driver who was sentenced to 110 years in prison for an interstate wreck that killed four people. It was a very tragic situation, and the governor, you know, hearing the outcries from so many people, said, I have to step in. The judge, in fact, in his own sentencing, said that their hands were tied in this sort of situation, which really brought up a national discussion about mandatory minimums and tying judges' hands. And I just thought, Audrey, we could start broadly for people. How often is it, how rare is it, how frequent is it for judges' hands to be tied during sentencing? Is that a very common thing across criminal trials?
It is a very common thing, not just with consecutive sentencing, but also mandatory minimums. So yes, on the state level as well as the federal level.
Let's break down what you said there, because that was what the judge was dealing with about. He wanted to, or the judge wanted to give the sentences concurrently, meaning, all right, you were responsible, at least in part, for the death of these four people, and there is some responsibility there. If he had ordered them to serve them concurrently, that means that the sentence would have been, you know, all four of them going on at the same time versus all in a row. But the judge was bound by law to put them all in a row, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. How is that common? Is that in Illinois? Is that the case? Or does it depend on what the law is that the person broke? I mean, is that do you hear that a lot?
We do, yes. We face it probably every day in court. There's mandatory consecutive sentencing, especially in sex cases, or different types of first-degree murders, and then other forcible felonies or serious felonies where the sentences must be consecutive, run one after the other. But whether or not that's what they get sentenced to, that's something different.
Okay. Is that the legislative branch has ruled that? Is it an outcry from legislatures to, you know, oh, the judges had made bad decisions in the past, so we want to make sure that they are required to do so in the future?
Correct. Right. So it's all by legislature. So the mandatory minimums, like if you get sentenced on a Class X, it's 6 years or consecutive. It's all by the legislature and what they've written.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the legislative branch is, of course, made up of politicians we elect every 2, 4, 6 years, depending on which elections you're talking about. Judges, I feel like, and maybe a lot of people would agree, maybe disagree, you know, the judges rule the judicial branch. It's supposed to be kind of this separate area. I don't know. It's an interesting check that the legislative branch has on the judicial branch in this instance.
That's very true. And you can understand why they do it for extremely heinous, horrible crimes. You don't want some person to walk away after 5 years. So it's understandable. But in this situation in Colorado, that's not necessarily what the statute was intended for. Or this person that he was only, I think, 23 when this happened back in 2019.
So the concurrently versus consecutive thing is one aspect, but so is mandatory minimums. We often hear about mandatory minimums. Usually, at least what I hear about them more is the debates about drug charges, but they're really peppered into the law in all sorts of different cases, right?
Right, and it is most common in drug cases, especially when you're dealing with kilos of drugs or different serious amounts. But yes, there are mandatory minimums depending on your prior convictions or what you're currently charged with.
Is that legislatures who were really fighting the war on crime and trying to appear tough to their constituents, making judges required to sentence these people to certain time frames?
Definitely. That's why I think so, too, because we've discussed this among different lawyers. And years ago, it was be tough on crime. You sentence offenders to the maximum amount of time. But I think the law and the focus of the legislature is shifting now. So as opposed to it being punitive, is to be more rehabilitative, to help people and understand why they commit these offenses and give them services as opposed to just warehouse them in mental boxes for decades.
You spent time before a criminal defense attorney as an assistant state's attorney, if I'm not mistaken, in DuPage County. Have you ever, in either your time on the prosecution side or the defense side, been in a courtroom where a judge says something along the lines of, hey, this is not what I would have done, but this is what I'm required to do.
Correct. Yes. Unfortunately, that has happened.
Is the only recourse what we saw what happened in Colorado, where a governor commutes the sentence or lessens the sentence?
Right. There really is the only recourse, because you can't, if the judge is required to do it, there's nothing that the judge can do or an appellate court can do. The only other option is if the prosecutors didn't proceed on all the counts to make it as long a sentence. But that's the only option, is the governor commuting or not having him or her be found guilty of everything.
As a defense attorney, I mean, what do you, that must drive you crazy, some of these things.
It does. It does. It's just frustrating, because sometimes you just have good people that make mistakes, and then they're sentenced to such a serious amount of time, and you understand why, but you do feel bad for them, because one accident, literally in this guy's case, it was an accident or a series of bad decisions. It had serious consequences for the lives of all the family members he's destroyed, and obviously his own life too.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm way off here, and I'm sure there's cases where I would appreciate these mandatory sentences or consecutive versus concurrent things. But wasn't the whole point to give judges the ability to have sympathy, to have empathy, to find the nuance in the cases when they determine sentencing, so as not to deliver too harsh or too lenient a sentence? I mean, that's how our judicial system was designed, right?
Right, I agree with that. But I can see the flip side also is that judges have a difference in perhaps how they're sentencing, so they want some sort of uniformity. So if you don't get Judge A, but you get Judge B, you will still get the similar sentence.
Interesting.
So one judge may be lighter or less serious, sorry, than the other one.
No, that's interesting. So there is a case where it's like it does protect, you know, maybe against racial biases or class biases or something like that, where, hey, we've set some guidelines so that in any way, in some cases, it actually helps defendants to make sure that they are sentenced in a more fair and uniform way.
Correct.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. And also, I know that, boy, even just last month, I believe, when what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin, how there's been so much made of the bonds that some people are able to get out on. And heck, we have that conversation all the time in Cook County. I know that's a different area than, you know, the sentencing of a criminal versus the bond set. But that is another area where we see a lot of times people say there should be minimums for this. And there probably are. And let's not give judges too much wiggle room in that area. Am I correct in that?
Yes, that's very true. And I know that the legislature has been amending the bond statutes with regards to whether or not it's going to be where you're required to have a person post money to actually get out. Because you are correct, those that maybe have more access to funds or friends that have access to funds, they get out, whereas lower income families may not have the ability to get a quick loan or go to friends and family for cash to get out.
Yeah. The clemency letter from the governor wrote, the length of your 110-year sentence is simply not commensurate with your actions, nor with penalties handed down to others for similar crimes, and commuted in. A lot of applause on all sides of the aisle for the governor, still obviously imposing a 10-year sentence. There needed to be some justice done there, but for being a little bit more lenient. Although I will just say, there are probably so many folks behind bars, shouldn't just label them so broadly speaking, but there are people behind bars that maybe there hasn't been a social media outcry, maybe there hasn't been the public pressure put on governors, that are sitting there behind bars still because of mandatory minimums, who could use a little help from people, I imagine, right?
Yes, that's so true. This obviously got a lot of publicity just because the nature of the offense, how many vehicles were involved. I mean, just watching video of the accident is horrific. So it's drawn to the national spotlight. But you're right, there's so many other offenders who are behind bars that their stories aren't really told, besides the local impact that they've had.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Audrey Anderson, thanks for breaking it down for us. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime.
AndersonAA.com is where you can chat with her and her team, Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. All right, Happy New Year, Audrey. Thank you so much.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you.
For sure. All right. We're going to introduce you to some more Illinois laws that are going into effect starting tomorrow, including the story of one Southside mom who really, I don't know, she had a fire under her. She was a real mama bear for her child, and she helped make sure that one law changed. We'll get that after the news here on WGN. 720 WGN. It's Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Really just feeling great time before Steve and Johnny. I mean, they're the show everyone's looking forward to, for sure. I'm just trying to keep you a little informed as you get ready for Steve and Johnny.
It's Steve and Johnny's world we're just living in.
We really are. I just like, I'll teach you a couple things here about the law, or I'll let my experts do it, not me. And really, we'll just get to Steve and Johnny. That'll be fun. John Landecker, can't wait for that as well. Really a great day here on WGN. But, Bob, I did want to mention the Betty White thing one more time. I actually met Betty White.
Really?
Very briefly. So this is a long story. I'll try and make it short. But I was out in L.A. visiting my friends who were writers for a show called Baby Daddy, which was like an ABC Family show. And they invited me to come out there and like be part of a live taping. It was taped in front of a studio audience. And so I got a pass, like a parking pass to the CBS lot. And I park my car. You can park anywhere, really. And I'm near where their studio is. And I see this just long line of people, and I'm like, what is happening here? And in the banner, and you know what the studio buildings kind of look like, right? They almost look like airport hangers,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course.
So on the wall of it, it's painted Hot in Cleveland, right? Or is that the name of the show? Sorry, yeah.
That was her show.
Yeah. So it's people, and they're in line to go see the show. And I had a badge so I could like kind of walk through doors that other people couldn't, luckily as a guest. And all of a sudden, I hear people cheering, and I turn around, and like a foot away from me is Betty White. And that's obviously who they're cheering for. And I turn to her, and I go, holy S, but I don't say S, it's Betty White. And she looks at me, and she goes, holy S, you're right. And she just walks away and starts signing autographs. She must have been, this was probably 2014, so what, 7 years ago, six, seven
right.
years ago? So
in her 90s.
She's still in her 90s, signing autographs. So it's before the taping, and those are long days out in those lots. The taping probably wasn't for a couple of hours, so she still had a long day at her. And I kind of just watched from afar as she at least signed 10, 15, 20 autographs walking down the line. Just so sweet, making people laugh. Everyone loved her.
That's one. Yeah, that's a great story.
So, so sad. Obviously, when a 99-year-old passes away, you're more inclined to just celebrate the long life they had, of course. But it doesn't make it any less sad when they pass away. So she's so few weeks before their 100th birthday, you just want someone to get to those triple digits.
Yeah, and there was going to be an event. They'll probably still do it, but one of those, was it Fathom events, you know, where they do those live kind of broadcasts sometimes
right.
in theaters. There was going to be one for her 100th. That was all planned. So hopefully that'll still
go on in some form,
I would think.
We had a texter, I can't find it right off the top of my head, but they mentioned that they were upset about Betty White's passing and that her mother was 99 years old and also passed just a few days before the 100th. And I think the texter said something along the lines of maybe they didn't want to get to 100. There's something about keeping it at 99.
Keep it in the double digits,
double digits. And maybe Betty was the same, and the texter hoped that they were celebrating or laughing together up there. And, boy, that would be a nice thought for sure. But, yeah, Betty White dead at the age of 99. Blake Stubbs, who's an entertainment reporter who hops on from time and again, is going to join me tomorrow morning. I'm on from 10 a.m. till 12:30, leading you to Blackhawks hockey. And we're going to talk about movies, too, of 2021 and looking ahead to 2022, wrapping up the entertainment stuff. But Blake will give us some good Betty White content as well. And I'd love to hear from you all as well. 312-981-7200. May not have a ton of time for it here as we get ready for Steve and Johnny. But if there is a memory or a moment you want to text in or call it about, maybe we could share a little of that here in the last 22 minutes of Let's Get Legal. But one thing I wanted to do before we do play a little Name That Movie clip is talk about one Illinois law that is changing. And I actually had a chance to talk to the person who was responsible for the changing of that law. Her name is Ida Nelson. She lives in the Garfield Park neighborhood. She has a son who, at the time of writing the story in the summer, was 4 years old. And this all comes from my gig over at Block Club Chicago and our podcast, It's All Good. His name is Jet Hawkins. He's 4 years old. His mother took him to the barber shop and gave him a haircut. And that's where all sorts of problems started. He wanted braids, and she decided to give him braids. And he went to school, and turned out he can't wear them there. It's a private school, and it's a school that she also went to. This is Providence St. Mel in Garfield Park, which has a long history of record graduation numbers for a lot of people in communities that don't have them. So this is not an overall knock against Providence St. Mel, but they said he couldn't have that hairstyle. And let's go ahead and play clip one. This is Ida Nelson chatting with me.
For us, it's not just hair. This is about our ability to connect with ourselves. It's about our ability to connect with our culture. This is about us protecting our mental health, because this is where it starts. The ideology that there is something about you that is wrong, that needs to be fixed, that needs to be created, something about your existence that needs to be right off the bat civilized, starting when you're 4 years old, apparently, that's problematic.
And that's what that was her response when I said, what if people say it's just hair? Going to school can tell a kid how to wear hair. And obviously for her, she's saying that for a lot of young Black men and women, boys and girls, and older, I mean, hair is an important part. I mean, that's a part of anyone. It's your expression. But she was really talking about how important it was in her community, especially. So anyways, she was able to team up at some point. That she raised this outcry where a lot of moms do on Facebook and on social media. And it really started to garner all this support from people in the community and naysayers, too, saying, no, this is the school's policy. You should go with it. But this is not the only case. There's been other cases in other states regarding the discrimination against people and their hair. There's the Crown Act, and we've talked to the folks in Michigan who actually set this up, and then the national legislation. But since Providence St. Mel was a private school, they were still allowed to have this rule and regulation. In fact, she went through a few different iterations with a jet of hair, and they said, nope, that doesn't work, this doesn't work, the other thing doesn't work, it's not what we want our young boys looking like at the school. Anyways, she teamed up with Senator Mike Simmons, who is a state senator who also has long, long hair, free-form locks, and probably the first person in our Illinois State Senate to wear his hair like that, and he partnered up with Ida Nelson to actually change the law. And tomorrow, this law goes into effect, essentially the Jed Hawkins law, that public or private schools do not have a right to discriminate on hairstyles that are predominantly worn by a specific group of people, whether it be Black Americans, Native Indigenous folks, or whatever the case may be. You cannot discriminate a specific hairstyle if it is identified by a certain cultural group. And I asked her, and this is before the governor had signed the law, but you know, after the legislature had already gone through it, whether she saw that as the end of her movement.
We're going to keep going. You know, we're going to see this thing on through. So the next step is I formulated Kids Like Jet to enact the same law in all 50 states to protect the mental health outcomes and even the physical outcomes for Black and brown children, because, you know, anybody who is different understands, you know, what's happening here. Starting this organization to protect the rest of the children in this country. Jed is the face of this movement. The fact that he is 4 years old, a beautiful brown little boy who is so innocent, so pure, silly, and it doesn't exempt him from being discriminated against for his hair, lets me know that, like, no one is off limits. And so we need to protect all of our children across America.
Senator Simmons added, it's important for me to act on my lived experiences. I know from my childhood what it's like to be regularly belittled, humiliated, isolated, and shamed by adults in the school setting. Black youth should be able to learn and become who they are without being traumatized and constantly targeted for who they are. I grew up, I'm white, and I grew up in Downers Grove, and I was always like, well, if the school tells you what to do, you got to do it. That's how I've always lived my whole life. But hearing Ida's story and just trying to take a more zoomed out view of it made my mind change on it. I'm interested to see what happens with this new law. I think a lot of people are supportive of this, and public schools were already held to the standard, but now private schools have to be as well. I know there's probably detractors or people that don't like this law. You can read the whole article at blockclubchicago.org. Pascal Sabino wrote it. You can just Google Ida Nelson and Block Club Chicago. It's a great story, and the podcast episode was really fascinating too. Just diving into what hair means to certain people and why it was so important to them. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You can call and join our conversation. Let us know any thoughts you have about Betty White or the new year. And I think we're going to have a little time after the commercial break to play a little movie trivia as well. 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. I think that's what I'm going to do tonight, just watch a bunch of their old music videos. This is John Hanson, Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Association. Hope you're having a great day. Steve and Johnny are on the way at 3 o'clock. I'm sure some of you tune in a little early to make sure you don't miss the start of their show. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. 312-981-7200. Let me know what you're doing for your New Year's Eve. Had some folks saying, let's see what we got, their last text. 630, checking out the lights at the Morton Arboretum before watching the ball drop in Times Square. That's cool stuff. 312-981-7200 to join the conversation. Let's end it with a game. How does that sound? I'm going to play you a clip from a movie, and then I need three callers to play the rest of the game for us. These are clips from movies that have something to do with the law. If you know the answer, call in, and then you're going to play the other five clips as well, and we'll compete. So here we go. Let's get clip number one.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care.
All right, that's an easy one. If you know that movie, 312-981-7200, that's the lure, that's the bait to get three callers on the line, and we'll play our game in just a moment. And while Andrew's working on those callers, I'm going to give you a couple more new laws that take effect tomorrow, including this one, Senate Bill 119. It prohibits lemonade stands and other means of non-alcoholic sales operated by a person under the age of 16 from being regulated or shut down by public health authorities. There's been so many stories of folks shutting down lemonade stands. Well, Senate Bill 119, our legislators have stepped in to make sure that you cannot shut down a lemonade stand from folks under the age of 16. If you're 16 and you start a lemonade stand, you shouldn't. What's the cutoff age, Carm, for a lemonade stand? How old is too old to be operating a lemonade stand? No one, 16's too old at that point, right? Yeah.
16, you might as well be 79. I would say, I think the cutoff is 11.
11. That sounds good to me, right? You go to junior high school, you're over lemonade stands at that point. Anyways, if you're 16 or older, they can still shut you down. Andrew said it depends on how good the lemonade is. Yeah, I guess you're right. Or what's in it. But no, that would also be shut down as well. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get some contestants here on the line. We already heard the clip of the movie. Let's go to Peggy. Peggy, how are you doing on WGN? How's your day going?
It's going good. How about yours?
I am doing really good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Tinley Park.
Tinley Park. All right, I'm going to lock you in and pray that this doesn't actually hang up on you. Hey, I think I did it. Let's go to Ken. Ken, you're on WGN. Where are you calling from here today?
I'm calling from the great town of Joliet.
The great town of Joliet. Hey, that was one of your hometowns that we visited. Did you catch that day on the air?
No, I missed it. Did you replay that?
Yeah, you'll have to go to WGNradio.com/your hometown. I did a whole video series.
Well, I definitely got to check that out. Yeah, sorry I missed it.
No, that's okay. We forgive you, man. All right.
Well, I'm so busy during the holidays.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Go to WGNradio.com. I'm going to lock you in. And let's get David, and then we're good. David, how you doing, my friend?
Real well. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. Where are you calling from, David?
Geneva, out west.
Not Lake Geneva, but west, but Geneva out on off Interstate 88 and out there, right?
Exactly.
All right. Peggy, Ken, and David, I'm going to lock all three in. Andrew, why don't we play that first clip again one more time?
I didn't kill my wife! I don't care!
So what I'm going to do is count down 3, 2, 1, then Peggy, Ken, David, I want you to say the answer all at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
A fugitive!
Wait, who was it that screamed really loud?
I think that was Peggy.
All right, you're all getting a point. Okay, so here's the way this works. This next one goes to Peggy, but then Ken and then David can steal it if Peggy doesn't get it right, and round we'll go. Let's go to clip number 2.
But why would any woman want to do that?
I changed it so I could get married.
And the truth shall set you free.
All right, Peggy, you got first shot at that. What movie is it?
Liar, Liar.
She got it. Yes, that's point number 2 for Peggy. All right, Ken, here is your clip.
But I don't know how anybody can possibly believe that I have less of a stake in mothering that little boy than Mr. Kramer does.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, We don't even need the rest of the clip.
I gave it away when I said Kramer.
Well, you know, Andrew told me that yesterday. He's like, I think that's going to be too obvious. I'm like, no, that's kind of obscure. Nope.
It's kind of like Meryl Streep. That's why I knew.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Ken. You get the point. Andrew, you get the point of privilege knowing you were right over me. And this next one's going to, this is going to go to David, clip number four.
I understand the post office receives thousands of these letters every year.
I have further exhibits, Your Honor, but I hesitate to produce them.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be very happy to see them.
Yes, yes, yes. Produce them, Mr. Gailey. Put them here on my desk.
But, Your Honor...
Put them here on the desk.
David, what movie is that?
Oh, I honestly had to pass it to Peggy.
Oh!
The minute you say it, Dear God...
Uh-huh, yeah.
Miracle on 34th Street.
Ah, Peggy stole it there. She gets her third point. Oh, David, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a Miracle on 34th
Street.
Sorry,
David. Thanks for passing it.
My pleasure.
And guess what, Peggy? It's your turn, so you're going to get first go at this one.
Your witness, Mr. Flynn.
Ladies and gentlemen, a tap dance.
Tell me, Miss Kelly, did you make a deal with Mr. Harrison? Maybe to drop all charges against you in exchange for testifying here today?
Well, sure. I'm not a complete idiot.
All right. What is it, Peggy?
That one I don't know. I'll have to pass it.
Ken, do you know what that is?
Is that Chicago?
That is Chicago. Okay. And that's,
yeah, I saw some tap dancing.
Yeah, that's 3 points for Ken. You don't have to be ashamed, Ken. I saw that movie 5 times in the movie theater. So
Renelle Zegwegger is nice to look at.
There you go. Hey, so are the gentlemen, too. It's equal opportunity on both sides there. All right, Ken, well, guess what? You have 3. Peggy has 3. David has 1. This is it. So, Ken, if you get this one, you're winning the game, okay?
Okay.
All right, Ken, here's your clip.
I move to disqualify Ms. Vito as an expert witness.
Can you answer the question?
No, it is a trick question.
Why is it a trick question?
Watch this.
Because Chevy didn't make a 327 in 55. The 327 didn't come out till 62. And it
My
wasn't
cousin
often
Vinny.
In the
Ah, he got it. He didn't even need to wait. And David knew that one too, didn't you, David?
I did.
Peggy, did you have that one too?
I had it.
All right, well, I'm going to use
Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, well, tell you what, I'm going to give David a half a point. I'm going to give Peggy a half a point. Neither of them matter, though, because Ken got 4 points, and he's our winner. Ken, congratulations.
All right, Happy New Year.
Ah, there we go. And I'm going to get him a $50 gift card to 5050 Restaurant Group to be used at any one of their 14 fantastic establishments all over Chicago, including Roots Pizza and the 5050 Sports Bar. Ken, congrats. David and Peggy, have a good New Year, okay?
Thank you.
Likewise. Good job, Ken. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, look at that that sportsmanship there from David wishing Ken a Happy New Year, too. All right, tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, then we'll wrap things up here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.
The preceding New Year's Eve episode of Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, was sponsored by the tax attorneys at Gordon Law Group and the personal injury attorneys at Gainsburg Law. For additional information on sponsors of Let's Get Legal, go to WGNradio.com.
720 WGN, it's 2:58. Just 2 minutes away from a bunch of other places welcoming in the new year, including Minx. They're 9 hours ahead. They're getting ready. They're whatever falls in Minx is falling right now as they get ready. Djibouti getting ready to celebrate as well. Moscow, they're 9 hours ahead, and they're also eager to ring in the new year, and they're about to do so too. Hey, 847 chimed in with lemonade stands should be allowed for any school fundraising events through high school. Okay, a fundraising event I can get behind, right? You're trying to raise money for the school. I just meant it's a little, I don't know, it seems strange to me to have 2 17-year-olds out there trying to sell you some lemonade. Anyways, we all know this has all been a preamble. Let's Get Legal for the real show. Steve and Johnny, who I'm turning on right now. It's an honor to chat with you guys again. Happy New Year.
Hey, how you doing?
So it is a pleasure. It's been too long, my friends. I got to chat with Johnny after the heating pad incident.
Oh, that's right.
But yes. Steve, it's good to hear your voice.
It's weird. This is one of the few times we've been in the studio when it is all fogged in.
Yeah, we've been having that a lot lately. Welcome to the experience. It's eerie.
The fireworks are not going to be good tonight from this vantage point. Yeah. And they were wonderful for 2020. Breathtaking because they come up from the ground and they end just below your feet here on the 18th floor.
That was one of the freakiest things because we were used to seeing the showcase studio view, which was you look up and there are the fireworks in the sky. But looking down and seeing the fireworks coming up at you, I felt like I was in a Marvel movie.
Right, yes.
I was in this studio where I am interviewing a guest on Let's Get Legal during the festivities on Michigan Avenue when the tree lighting ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire fireworks show was timed out. I couldn't see any of it, but my guest had a great view. I only saw it in the glint of his eye, the fireworks from behind me facing the wrong way. You guys got a great show, I imagine, today, right?
Well, we're going to work on it. I mean, now that I know that
it's
New Year's in Djibouti, I just wanted to say that on the radio. So.
So did I. I didn't even check if it really was or not. See you, Johnny. Have a great show. Okay?
Happy New Year.
Looking forward to it. Bye, after John. The news on WGN.